We want to greet each one in the worthy name of Christ this morning. It is a real blessing to see Dwayne and Lois sitting back here. We've been looking forward to coming and being here, sharing with you, and not because we have something new to say, but because we serve the same God. And so this morning, was it Peter that said something about stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance? And we need that every once in a while. I need it. You know, there's things that we struggle with in life. I'm guessing there's not one of us here that doesn't have some kind of issue, something that we work through, and so on. But this morning, I'd like to encourage us to grasp a hold of some of the truths that and the promises that are in God's Word. And in the things that I'm going to say this morning, I'm thinking that I'm talking to a redeemed people, a people that know the Lord, believers in Christ. So we want to look at a passage here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and see if we can't glean some insight here in what the Apostle Paul's seemingly exotic or overstated expressions. We've entitled the message with a question: spiritual embellishment or facts? Is Paul here exaggerating by the things that he's saying? Or are they really facts? Now, this morning, I'd like to sit down with each one of you and just across the table and ask you a question. What is it that keeps you from fully enjoying your Christian experience? It seems it doesn't matter what church we go to, what church we visit, or even at home. There's always those concerns about those that question their relationship with God. I know what that's like, questioning our relationship with God. Why are we as Christians not enjoying the Christian life to the full? Is it that we don't have enough scripture to, you know, show us our standing with God? I'm always amazed with the Old Testament people. Do you know what they had? And yet they were supposed to be faithful to God. Yeah, God spoke to them audibly. He did. They had Moses' writings, at least some of them did later on. Is it that we don't understand who God is? Is it that we aren't sure if we're saved and how all of that works? Is it that God is so holy and we are so unworthy to be his child? Do we wonder if he has forgiven us our sins? And maybe you are fully grasping this morning the who God is and have his peace, his power through Christ. I hope so. But if not, let's look at God's word this morning and discover, or maybe learn anew, what some of those spiritual blessings are that we have in Christ Jesus. And there's many. And to me, this was a real blessing in studying for this message. Now, I'm going to use the pronoun you because I want it to impact your mind. You who are kept by the power of God. The Bible talks about you. I've learned that when we make Scripture personal, it goes to the heart a lot quicker than if we say thee and thou and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. There's some friends of ours that gave us some cards with Bible verses, and these have my name in them. My wife has a set with her name in them. And that's very interesting to take Bible verses and have your name right in there. It makes it more personal. Unless we have a proper view of who God is, we're going to struggle in finding or understanding what our position in Christ Jesus is. Oh, we know that Jesus died for us. But what does he want with me? I'm not good enough for him. I have too many failures and struggles in my life. I'm just not worthy of him. You know, if that's how we feel this morning, then our Father wants to talk with us. And he is holy. He is pure. He is sovereign. There's no evil. There's no sinfulness. There's nothing unrighteous that can come into his presence. And I know that pretty well leaves all of us outside the camp, doesn't it? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's then where it gets exciting, because Jesus came and he wants to restore that relationship with us and our Heavenly Father. Paul seems to have a better handle on this than what I do, so we'll look at what he says. And the letter that he wrote here, he addressed to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that sets a pretty high standard for of what relationship that we should have with God. You know, faithful in Christ Jesus and saints. And it almost seems like Paul elevates himself maybe to another step higher. It seems he sees where he stands with God. And I know that's kind of painting a low esteem picture for ourselves. But that's kind of how we look at some of the early church people, the apostles and so on. The first thing Paul does here is he calls himself an apostle, and that by the will of God. The will of God is something that we often struggle with. At least it comes up quite often, and we do. Well, somewhere Paul gets the idea or the assurance that he is in God's will. So a biblical apostle is one that witnessed the life of the Lord Jesus here on earth. He uses his apostleship title in addressing most of his letters, probably all of them, Ephesians, Colossians, and Romans, and all those. And he says, an apostle by the will of God. He had a deep understanding, it seems, of his calling, of his position in Christ. We are not and cannot have the same apostleship as those early Christians in the early church age. And that's okay. We'll leave that to them. Our belief is all by faith today, in thinking back and in knowing who God is. It's all by faith, not by sight. So he uses the term saints. And I know that's a title that we're not used to using, you know, to address each other. And what we kind of tend to consider a saint something, someone a little more pious or holy than what we rank ourselves in our Christian life. But may I ask why we do that? Why don't we call each other saints? I'd like to suggest that a proper view of Calvary and what role that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has in our relationship with God the Father, then the term saints would be a better term than just a sinner saved by grace. So apostleship is a title for the early Christians, kind of intimidates us. If somebody calls us a saint or whatever, it kind of makes us squirm a little bit maybe. And that's too bad, because Jesus, he went through an awful lot to give us that title. So if we had one of those one-on-one sessions across the table this morning, I would ask you to say, I am a saint. Would you be comfortable with that? Okay. And remember the title, embellishment or facts. And, you know, some of the statements that the Bible Scripture uses are titles that we don't use in our everyday language. Going on in verse 3 there, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, so there's two blesseds in here. And the first one, I believe, is referring to our praise, our honor, our thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us through Christ. Our adoration for him. The second one is his blessings to us. We use the word kind of in a context. I'm blessed with good health. And that is a real blessing. Something that's given to me for my benefit. So in verse 3, he says, he has blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing. All that we need spiritually. And I know that's an awful lot. Now, if we think that apostleship and saints, if we look at that as kind of an embellishment in our view of a humble Christian, let's look at some of the spiritual blessings that he has given us just because he loves us. Blessings in heavenly places. Heavenly places kind of tells us how much that we should be enjoying these spiritual blessings. But then why do we doubt? Why do we question? That these are things that he wants us to know, to experience in our everyday walk of life. So in verse 4, we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He hath chosen us. Now, if we'd have another one of those little sessions across the table, I would ask you to repeat after me, God chose me. So number one, I am a saint and God chose me. You know, it says so. It's written right here in the Bible. That can be said with a full assurance this morning. It's not an embellishment, but it's a fact. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we come from. He chose us. What is a foundation? Well, you know, it says that we are chosen before the foundation, before it was ever laid. So, a foundation is a base that we build something on. In 2 Timothy 1:9, and here also in this passage, it says that before the creation of the world, and let that soak in, before the foundation of the world, before the creation, before man was ever created, God already chose you as his child. How did he know to choose you? It says he chose us before the foundation of the world. Why did he choose you? What was his purpose in choosing you? It says he chose you and me to be holy and without blame. Now, number one, don't take this too personal, but take it home. There's nothing holy about you, is there? Maybe. Number two, all the sins that you committed, and you are without blame. These are blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's remember that. It is in Christ. We have these blessings. So concerning your spiritual life, he left nothing hanging or undone. And he goes way beyond what you can even think in providing eternal life for you. Too often, the problem is we fail in claiming these promises. From sinful to blameless. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Father planned that his Son would come to earth and pay the price for your redemption before he ever created you or even the world that you live in. So he planned for your salvation before he went to the bother even of starting all this chaos of humanity. Seems to be a lot of that today, doesn't it? So the next spiritual blessing is very similar to the previous one here. Being chosen Then he made a stronger commitment to us. It says that God predestinated us as adopted children by what Jesus did for us. Let's just take a moment here and look at the word predestined. See what that means. We all know what the prefix is here. Pre or before. Prior to limit in advance. The word destined, to determine before, designed for, intended, preordained. So predestined, foreordained, predestined us unto the adoption of children. He signed the adoption papers to make you his own child before he ever spoke the world in place or he ever formed man from the dust of the earth. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Did you know that verse is in the Bible? It's there. Look at it. It's amazing. He did this on his own will. It's because he wanted to. That's why he did it. He didn't have to. You didn't ask him for it. You weren't even born. In fact, the way you acted since you're born, you don't even deserve it. But he still loves you. That's why he did it. But there is where the beauty of the whole plan starts. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, before he ever created the world or man. That was in due time. Well, it says Christ died for the ungodly, and he had this all planned way back. Your heavenly Father finds pleasure in providing for you, you who are an illegitimate child, a child of the devil, without Christ, an alien, a stranger, without hope. He says he finds pleasure in salvaging, in redeeming, in picking you out of the rubbish of the world and giving you an inheritance with his own begotten Son. Did you ever stop and think of that? An inheritance with Jesus? We are sons. With his own begotten Son. Give him that pleasure this morning of picking you out of the scum, out of the garbage, and giving you the hope of eternal life to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He'd love to do that this morning. It means taking away the scum, your fear, your selfishness, your unforgiving spirit, your anger, your pride. It says it's to the praise and glory of his grace that he wants to do that. This morning, I noticed in our songs, there's a lot of songs sung this morning about grace, the grace of God. He accepts us because of his divine grace. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It says that for everyone that is picked out of the scum of the world, he said there's rejoicing in heaven. Now, all these blessings are yours because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, that he made on Calvary. just for you. You had nothing to do with it on your own. It's because of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to stand as I read the next verse. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, some of these things I have repeated and am going to repeat quite a few times, okay? I want the Holy Spirit to plant these deep in our hearts. You may be seated. Not only did he choose you or predestinate you, but now he says he also redeemed you with the price of blood. It's the act of paying the ransom in full. The blood that Jesus shed paid for every sin that you have or will ever commit. It paid the ransom, the price that it took to buy you out of slavery to Satan and give you an eternal home. And this was all planned as a spiritual blessing for you and me before the world was ever created. That's not overstated. It's a fact. It's truth. It's Bible. Then he adds that through this Jesus, you have your sins forgiven. Would you enjoy the Christian life more if you were convinced that the blood of Jesus actually forgives all your sins? Isn't that often our problem? It's just hard for us to grasp. These are things that we can't see with our eyes. But it is through faith that we have to believe it. It's Bible. It's God's word. If you ask him once to forgive your sins, he did. See, Jesus died to forgive your sins long before you were born. The Father doesn't see your sins, but he sees you in a forgiven state because Jesus paid the price. He paid for those sins. All these provisions are made. They're done. They're provided with you in mind before you or the world were even started. So another one-on-one session across the table, okay? I would ask you to say, I am a saint. I am chosen. I am predestinated to be a child of God. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. These are not embellishments, they're facts. How can we be so sure? The Bible says so. And we believe it by faith. Remember, all this was planned before you or even the world was created. So why all this? That's the question this morning. Why all of this? It's all because he has so much grace. He is rich in grace. He did it so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You are called, predestinated, redeemed, forgiven, because he has so much grace. Do you understand the word abounded? In verse 8, it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, what does that mean? In plain language, I believe he's saying that God, in his wisdom and foreknowledge, knew you were going to sin. So he made so that there is more grace than your sin. Otherwise, the devil would have the upper hand. He'd have more power than God. His grace has no limit. He has more grace than you can use. So should we keep on sinning because there's plenty of grace? No. No. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Listen to Romans 5. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Or where there is no law, there is no wrongdoing. But he says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So another one-on-one session. I would ask you to say, there is more grace than my sin. See, where there is sin, God's grace and his mercy receive so much glory, so much more glory in defeating it. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, freely bestowed on all who believe. Now, there's one more spiritual blessing that we want to look at. And before we get into this one, you know, it may have sounded like we have no choice but to be chosen, to be predestinated, redeemed and forgiven. The fact is, all of humanity, there's no one exempt, has every bit of these spiritual blessings to their name. But it does no good until we as an individual reach out our hand and accept this gift from God. If you and I would sit down across the table one more time, I would ask you a question. Do you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation? If your answer is no, then I'd like to talk with you after the service. I'd have one more question for you. Why not? If your answer is yes, then listen to this one. Verse 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom after that ye believed, did you get that? After that ye believed, it says, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This is a tremendous gift that is given to you and me, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given at the new birth. When you said yes to Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit moved into your heart. We don't have to wonder this morning if we as believers have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The spiritual blessing of being chosen, predestinated, redeemed, and forgiven needs to be accepted by faith, by you individually, personally. Then, when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes to seal you as a child of God. So, what if I fall into sin after I am sealed? Well, our Heavenly Father understands you and me. He understands us. He knows that we need sanctification as we go through life. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a seal. He's a down payment of our inheritance until we get to heaven. I believe this morning that we have a seal. We have protection. We have sonship. That as long as we believe in and desire to walk with God, there is nothing that can separate us from our eternal home. I believe there's a protection of divine grace there, that when we fall, the Holy Spirit, that is our seal, is not easily or quickly broken, removed. But it's the Holy Spirit that continues to work within us, wooing us, drawing us back to our Heavenly Father without removing the seal. We live in the day where God understands our shortcomings. He extends grace and protection through the seal of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we would be in and out of being sealed. And the scriptures don't teach that. I do believe this morning that scripture teaches us that we can fall away and reject our heavenly calling. If we don't want to go to heaven, we don't have to. We can reject that. We are told to be steadfast in the faith, to endure to the end, to make your calling and election sure. Revelation says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We have this blessing and privilege this morning because we are gifted with the riches of divine grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a security. And this morning, I want it to be an encouragement to us of our position in Christ. It's a security in those times when the devil comes and tempts us with questions, with doubts. No, we are sealed. We are desiring. We are walking with God. We are His. I would like to give you some homework this morning. I'd like for you to read and reread Ephesians 1, 1 through 14 this coming week. Claim those promises. Claim those truths that are in there. It's one of the most beautiful passages that you will find in the Bible. I am a saint because of Jesus. I am chosen because of Jesus. I am redeemed because of Jesus. I am forgiven because of Jesus. I am predestinated to be a child of God because of Jesus. And there is more grace than my sin. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It's because he wants to do it for you. That's why he did it. That's why he planned it. I want to read this passage. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom we have both, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. I want you to stand, and I want to read a few more verses here, and then we'll close with prayer. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we're so grateful for who you are. Thank you for thinking about us and what you knew is going to be a lost condition in our hearts. Thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of not only having that relationship reconnected with you, but having your Spirit to guide us day by day, to show us how to walk, where to walk, how to live a holy life. And that's our desire, it's our prayer, Lord, to be faithful to your Spirit, to be faithful in becoming more like you as we journey through this life. May you be glorified this morning. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.